Hello, you are listening to The Dollop, a bi-weekly podcast starring Dave Anthony. Each week, I read a story from American history.
What the fuck is going on?
My friend, Gareth
Reynolds, who has no idea what the fuck is going on. What are you doing?
That was Gary.
Oh my God.
God, you want a little hit of dude?
I'll do one bump.
People say this is funny?
Not Gary, Gara.
Dave, okay.
Someone or something is tickling people.
Is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the tickling podcast.
Okay.
You are Queen Fakey of Made-Up Town.
All hail Queen Shit of Liesville.
A bunch of religious virgins go to mingle.
And do what?
Pray.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Hey, is it start? Are we going?
Yep.
Oh, we are? Oh. Good Lord, it's amazing how docile you were for the pregame before this started. And then the second the lights turned on,
getting ready, girl.
Showtime Anthony's here.
Just getting ready, girl.
Jazz hands glittering.
What do you got?
I'll be opening for Will Anderson July 11th at a show at Nerd Melt.
Yeah. That's good. He's doing Free Will, right?
Yeah. And my mother will be there. I'm going to take my mother.
Really?
Yeah.
That'll be nice to meet her.
Yeah. She says hello to you.
Tell her I said hello back.
Great. Glad we did this.
Thank you for the tea.
Great. Oh, man. Really peeling back the curtain on this one.
Yeah. This was good. I'm glad people got to be a part of this.
Yeah.
We want to thank Carla.
Yeah, Carla Huffstedler, who has put together single-handedly.
Yep, put together, all by herself.
Put together a website that sort of chronicles all the dollops and has pictures and links and is...
Food items.
Food, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Food,
crazy
drink
shit.
Over there, all kinds of beverages.
So, you know, if you're interested, if you want... I think it's a way for your... If you have questions after you've listened to one and you want to know... A little more, maybe like what something looked like or some crazy shit. Just go to the dollop.net.
Dollop.net, girl.
Dollop.net. Carla Huffstedler, follow her on Twitter. She's been a big help. Thank you.
My mattress arrived. My Sattva mattress.
Right.
My back is a little bit better.
Wait, I thought you already had it.
No, no, I had ordered it.
Oh, you hadn't even gotten it yet.
No, now it has arrived.
And let's talk sex life. Up?
Way up.
Way up, right? I knew it.
So
I
much.
Knew it.
So I've talked about it. Sattva mattress. It is a. They do not have stores. It's just a. It's just an online delivery thing. It's super easy to do. It's super simple to go to the website and figure out. Usually, this kind of thing would take me about an hour to decide on a mattress. I just went there. I was like, oh, boom, there it is. Picked my mattress. Called them up. They were like, hey, Dave. I was like, well, that's weird. You know my name? And then they were like,
knowing
yeah.
you probably.
And then their
hands
like,
probably came up a little bit.
Yeah, I started a fight.
Yeah.
But then I realized they called me.
Right, fair.
Yeah, they're the leading online mattress. As far as I'm concerned, there's no other companies. The prices are fucking sweet. They're tasty, brah.
We should do... it would be nice... Maybe I can form like a wacky mattress spokesman character.
Okay.
You know? I
Go
can
ahead.
Work on that. Well, just a guy who's like... Sattva mattresses. Oh my God! Get on down here, the deals.
Like I like that like guy. That.
Like,
do
yeah.
They say we don't drop off heavy boxes on your doorstep.
We don't drop off heavy boxes on your doorstep. No way, no how.
Okay, I like that.
Come on down this Saturday, or as we call it, Sattva Day, and get yourself a mattress. We don't have stores.
Hypoallergenic, eco-friendly. Like I said, I have lower back pain. It has gotten better since I switched to this mattress. 75-day. Trial. So after 74 days, you can be like, I've been doing all kinds
I've
of horrible stuff.
I've soiled your bed.
I've been doing so much horrible stuff on this bed.
The bed is full
this
of...
This mattress looks like a mattress from the 1800s,
yeah.
And I'm sending it back after yeah. what I did to it. And they'll be like, all right, that's cool.
Bed is covered in heroin.
So there you go. Organic cotton on the mattress. It's all good. Go to smarterbed.com or go to sattvamattress.com. Boom. There it is.
Well,
how do you feel?
I feel like you're trapping me so you can shout a date, and I'm not going to fall for it.
Also, people have been donating to our Patreon, the Dollop Patreon subscription page, which is very kind of you. Some of you guys are super crazy generous. Other of you, even if you, some guys have just given a buck, and I think that's even awesome. Like, it's just nice that people support.
It is nice.
You know, if I assume a guy who's given a buck probably doesn't have a lot of money, and so he's given something. So that's
it'd be
cool.
Great right now when we were doing this, we were just like surrounded by gold and diamonds.
Well, we are.
Yeah. I mean, or if we told, yeah.
Did you hear a guy, a gang member, have his balls covered in gold?
Someone sent us that, right?
And it turns out you die if you do that
because yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah. Shocker. Spoiler alert.
1959!
Oh, real weird eye contact.
Social psychologist Milton Rokitch was inspired to conduct an experiment after reading the account of another psychological happenstance in an issue of Harper's Magazine. It told the story of two women who thought that they were Mary, Mother of God.
Two women thought they were Mary?
Who came to face-to-face by chance in a mental institution in Maryland.
It's kind of like when twins play one baby on a TV show.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think that's the same thing.
Huh.
Because the twins don't think that they're the character.
Right.
Like, they're not delusional.
You're going to go through the list of differences?
Although, it would be awesome if they were delusional. Yeah. It'd be great to get two delusional twins and put them on a show.
Thank you.
The two women engaged in conversation. They had been chatting for several minutes when the older woman introduced herself as Mary, Mother of God.
Uh-huh.
Why, you can't be, my dear, the other patient replied. Unable to conceive of such a notion, you must be crazy. I am the Mother of God.
Oh, boy.
I'm afraid it's you who are mixed up, the first asserted. I am Mary. A hospital staff member eavesdropped as the two Virgin Marys debated their identities.
Whoa.
After a while, the women paused to quietly regard one another. Finally, the older patient seemed to arrive at a realization. If you are Mary, she said, I must be Anne, your mother.
What?
That seemed to settle it, and they embraced.
Whoa, all right. Well, no more questions here, because I'm older in my human form. I'm your mom. Doop-de-doop-de-doop. And then they put pudding on their feet.
In the following weeks, the woman who had conceded her delusion was reported to be much more receptive to treatment. And she was soon considered well enough to be discharged from the hospital.
Wait, which one?
The one who said she, all right, I'll be Anne, the mother of the mother.
The one, okay. She's the healthy one.
Yeah, well, okay. I guess, yeah.
Sure.
Frustrated by psychology's focus on what he considered to be peripheral beliefs, like political opinions or social attitudes, Dr. Rokitch wanted to probe the limits of identity.
Hmm.
I wonder if that came through.
I don't know.
He had been intrigued by stories of Secret Service agents who felt they had lost contact with their original identities. That's all that says there.
What the hell's going on right now?
And I don't understand that one at all. I just assume there's Secret Service guys walking around going, who am I?
Oh, man. I feel like I'm one of my fake characters.
Am I a Bert now?
It's like Jason Bourne, like, you know, 20 years down the line. He's like, who am I? Am I a sheik?
I'm Margaret.
Am I that Polish hiker?
And so the doctor wondered if a man's sense of self might be challenged in a controlled setting.
If a man's... Okay.
Rokitch found his answer in the Bible, which was a bit odd for a psychologist. There's only one Son of God, says the Bible, so anyone who believed himself to be Jesus would freak out by the existence of another Jesus.
Uh-huh.
This was the revelation that led Rokitch to orchestrate his meeting of the messiahs.
Wait.
What?
Is this guy orchestrating a Jesus off?
He sought and secured a research grant to test his hypothesis, and he began canvassing sanitariums for delusional...
shut the fuck up, wait.
Jesus doppelgangers.
This dude is on the hunt for Jesuses. Mm-hmm. So that he can get two Jesuses together to see what the fuck happens? I'm a fan of this man.
Finally, he found three patients.
Whoa!
All suffering from the delusion that they were Jesus.
Was it the Bee Gees?
Uh, He set them up to live together in the Ypsilanti.
Sounds like an MTV show. We took three Christs, put them in a house together. Find out what happens.
He put them in the Ypsilanti State Hospital in Michigan in 1959. He instructed the medical superintendent, Dr. Yoder, to arrange the transfers. Yoder dutifully sent them to Ypsilanti Ward D23 and then washed his hands of the matter.
Jesus.
3 days later, when the three Christs arose, they were summoned to a small antechamber adjacent to Ward D23.
I mean, okay. It's now, do they know that there's other... No. These three Jesuses...
They've been transferred to
Separated and transferred.
Yeah.
They don't know that there's another Jesus in the house, let alone two other Jesuses in the house.
Nope.
And now we're about to watch what happens when...
About to have a sit-down.
I have a sit-down. All right. Just go in the room with a tape recorder, set it on the table, and just be like... You all three think you're Jesus, and then just walk out.
This wasn't the first time Christs have been put together. Voltaire recounted the tale of the unfortunate madman Simon Morin, who was originally committed to an asylum for believing he was Jesus. There he met another man who claimed to be the God the Father. Morin was so struck by the folly of his companion that he acknowledged his own and appeared for a time to have recovered from his senses. So he was like, what? And then he came around and was like, well, I can't be Jesus. So he's cured.
Right.
Nope.
For a bit.
The lucid period did not last long, and he returned to being Jesus. Authorities lost patience with his blasphemy, and he was burned at the stake in 1663.
Whoa.
That'll teach you.
Well, I mean, care if a guy is like... If he's sniffing around being Jesus, don't put him on wood and torture him.
You can't say you're... Okay.
What?
All right, I'm with you.
Yeah.
So shoot him?
No. I mean, I think you got to be like... I mean, I'm not saying the Jesuses are invincible or invisible. Either way.
They're neither.
Well, I think they're a little invisible. But, like, you shouldn't... I mean, just be safe. Better safe than sorry.
All right.
Right?
Another account of Jesus is coming together is recounted in the book My Voice Will Go With You, The Teaching Tales of Milton Erickson. Renowned psychiatrist Sidney Rosen set up two delusional Christs in his ward. They began arguing only for one to gain insight into his madness, miraculously after seeing something of himself in his companion.
What?
Quote, I'm saying the same things as that crazy fool is saying, said the patient. That means I must be crazy too.
Wow. That is fucking nuts.
Right. So, Rokic thought that it might be possible to alter or even eliminate schizophrenic delusions if patients were forced to confront the existential contradiction of others who possess the same delusions.
It's pretty interesting.
A sort of mental shock treatment, if you will.
I will.
Any success from such meetings is very surprising because delusions are not simply a case of being mistaken. They are... considered to be pathological beliefs reflecting a warped understanding that is not, by definition, amenable to being reshaped by reality.
Okay.
So when confronted by reality, they're not going to change.
Right.
The three men were brought to a plain room with bare walls and deliberately unstimulating furniture.
Oh, my gosh.
As was always the case when Dr. Rokic was present, tobacco... smoke hung in the air.
Yeah.
The doctor introduced himself and his three research scientists, and he explained that they would all be spending a lot of time together over the next few months.
Months?
Months.
Fuck.
The patient sat across from the researchers in the heavy wooden straight-backed chairs. Joseph Castle was a failed writer who was institutionalized after increasingly violent behavior toward his family.
Okay.
The doctor asked him to introduce himself. My name is Joseph Castle. Joseph was a 58-year-old patient who, at that time, had been institutionalized for almost 20 years.
Okay.
He was quite bald, and he grinned often despite missing half his front teeth.
Don't grin as much.
His shirt and trouser pockets were bulging with belongings, such as eyeglasses, tobacco, pencils, handkerchiefs, books, and magazine.
Books in his pockets?
Mm-hmm. Joseph tended to inexplicably fling his reading material from windows when he thought no one was looking.
Well, that's an interesting trait.
He's a classic madman.
Yeah, he's book tossing.
Although he was not from England, nor had he ever visited, he yearned to return there someday. He was the most mild-mannered of the three Christs.
Wait.
Yes.
He'd never been to England.
Mm-hmm. But he
wanted to go back?
Yeah.
Cool. That's how I am with Russia.
Joseph, is there anything else you want to tell us? The doctor prompted.
Oh, just one more thing.
Yes, I'm God. The next to speak was the eldest of the three. My name is Clyde Benson, he mumbled in a low voice that characterized most of his speech. That's my name straight. At 70 years old, Clyde suffered from dementia, but in moments of lucidity, he tended to reminisce about working on the railroads and fishing. He was quite tall and almost entirely toothless.
Wow, so we're losing teeth as we get further down the Jesus spectrum.
Yeah, Jesus
spectrum.
Does not have teeth.
Yeah.
Do you have any other names? The doctor asked. Well, I have other names. That's my vital side, and I made God 5 and Jesus 6, Clyde replied.
Interesting. I didn't see that game of one-on-one playing out like that.
The third Christ to introduce himself was Leon.
Wait, what does God 5, Jesus 6 mean?
I don't know.
Just sounds like a score that shouldn't happen.
It's something that people who are schizophrenic say.
Yeah, I mean,
just nod and you go, okay,
I was just curious what it was connected to, but it doesn't matter, really.
So then Leon introduced himself. He was 38. He had been raised by a single mother, a militant Christian woman.
Had no lower jaw.
Who had struggled with their own mental health. Some 5 years earlier, his mother had come home from her daily church session to find Leon in the process of destroying the crucifixes and other Christian ornamentation that covered every wall in the house. Leon then commanded his mother to reject such false images and worship him as Jesus.
Oh, that is... Look.
Bold.
Well, look, if you're living in your mom's house in your 30s, mm-hmm. you know she's going to be giving you attitude.
Yeah.
I like the switch there.
I like it, too.
It's Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Of...
And she's going to church every day.
Yeah.
So how about you turn around and spend a little
Why
time...
Why did you smash all these crucifixes?
Well, they're not real. I'm real. What do you want to do?
I'm God.
Come
Get on.
On
your hands and knees.
Come on, lady.
Pray to me. Also, are we having eggs tonight, or what are we... Okay, cool. Oh, man.
Leon was committed soon after. He was tall, thin, articulate, and he constantly kept his hands in front of him to keep them in sight.
Hey, who hasn't done that?
He might get away.
Yeah, gotta keep my eyes on him.
Sir, Leon introduced himself.
Fuck, my hands are gone! Why did you show me that? Fuck, I knew it!
It so happens that my birth certificate says that I am Dr. Domino Diminorum, Et rex rexarum simply Christianus peris mentalis doctor.
Uh-huh, sure.
This, he spoke Latin.
Yeah, cool.
This moniker was Latin for Lord of Lords and King of Kings, simple Christian boy psychiatrist. Leon continued. It also states that on my birth certificate that I am the reincarnation of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Wow.
So that's on the birth certificate.
Yeah.
The mother went and laid that on there.
Yeah. It's handwritten in crayon, but it's there.
I love that he thinks it's on his birth certificate.
Yeah.
Joseph was the first to protest. He says he is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ.
I mean, awkward. Sorry, what was that you said at the end there?
He says he is the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. I can't get it. I know who I am. I'm God, Christ, the Holy Ghost. And if I wasn't, by gosh, I wouldn't lay claim to anything of the sort. I'm Christ. I don't want to say I'm Christ, God, the Holy Ghost, Spirit. I know this is an insane house, and you have to be very careful.
Well, and no more questions for you, sane man.
After allowing Joseph to rant on a bit longer, Leo interjected. Mr. Castle, please. I didn't agree with the fact that you were generalizing and calling all people insane in this place. There are people here who are not insane. Each person is a house. Please remember that. He's saying he's not insane.
Yeah. Just if he just stopped like 8 words earlier. Fucking A.
The doctor then allowed them to argue in this way for a few moments before he turned to Clyde, the eldest, and asked for an opinion. Well, I represent the resurrection, Clyde said. Yeah, and the same as Jesus to represent the resurrection. He trailed off into mumbling.
This has got to be insane to be sitting there just listening to this argument.
Yeah. The doctor attempted to clarify for the record. Did you say you are God? That's right. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Everything disintegrated as Clyde and Joseph began to bellow at one another. Don't try to pull that on me because I will prove to you. I'm telling you, I'm God. You are not. I'm God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. I know what I am, and I'm going to be what I am. And so on and so forth.
God 5, Jesus 6.
They argued like this for the remainder of the session as Leon watched in attentive silence. When they adjourned for the day, Leon denounced the session as mental torture.
Yeah, I mean, really.
The early meetings were all stormy. You ought to worship me, I'll tell you that, Joseph yelled. I will not worship you. You're a creature. You better live your own life and wake up to the facts, said Leon. No two men are Jesus Christ. I am the good Lord, Clyde interjected.
Oh, Jesus, no.
I wonder if I lift it up. One of them punched another one.
What?
The doctor attempted to maximize.
One of the Jesuses hit another Jesus?
Yeah, Clyde hit Leon.
Clyde hit Leon.
The doctor attempted to maximize the inter-Christ contact by assigning the three men to adjacent beds in the ward, assigning them adjacent seats in the dining area.
What the fuck?
And arranging them for them to work side by side in the laundry.
All
Jesus, all the time. His research assistants were instructed to conduct a daily group session and to follow the Christ and inventory their activities during the rest of the day. Once per week, the doctor himself would descend upon the facility to personally prod at the patients.
What the? This is crazy.
On one occasion, he asked the group, "Why are you in this hospital?" Clyde mumbled that he owned the building and adjacent lands, and then he stayed on as a caretaker.
Fuck.
All right.
Okay.
Joseph proudly explained that the hospital was an English stronghold, and then he was there to defend it.
What?
That's a beautiful one.
What?
I mean, if you're gonna be psychotic, that's a good one.
I'm sure.
Defending the castle?
Yeah, for sure.
Leon was the only one to acknowledge that he was a mental patient, but he stopped short of admitting to delusion. He blamed some ambiguous, jealous prosecutors for unjustly subjecting him to the torment of the ward.
Leon's is grounded. Yeah. I do agree. Defending the castle, the most fun space to be playing in.
By far. Weeks of discussions ensued. As the novelty of the sessions wore off, the tension began to rise. Debates became passionate as each Christ attempted to disabuse the others of their misguided beliefs.
Oh, my God.
Weeks.
Weeks.
In the meantime, the researchers' questions became more confrontational. Each patient strained to maintain a rational demeanor. Outbursts, obscenities, and threats became increasingly commonplace.
Just like Jesus.
Inside and outside the day. Yeah, exactly like Jesus. On one occasion, as Leon waited in the supper line, a bothersome patient approached him and asked, "Hey, you still think you're Jesus Christ?"
Oh, boy.
"Sir, I am most certainly Jesus Christ," Leon responded. The agitator turned to another man waiting in line and said, "This guy thinks he's Christ. He's nuts, isn't he?" "He's not Christ. I am," the man replied angrily. That was Joseph across the room. Then old man Clyde stood up, not far away. "No, he's not! I am Jesus!"
Oh, my God, no! No! All three... The fact that all three of them have to get involved every time. Like, two's funny, but the fact that there's always the third is like, "You're both crazy! I'm Jesus!"
3 weeks in, during the daily group session, Leon said that Adam of the Bible was a colored man.
I mean, that's controversial, then.
Clyde was furious. Leon said, "I believe in truthful bullshit, but I don't care for your bullshit."
What?
Clyde punched Leon.
Oh, jeez.
Because Adam is not black.
Clyde punched Leon, who thinks he's Jesus, because Adam isn't black. Okay, all right. Just want to get a reading of where we're at.
They were separated by the researchers. Before long, the conversation began.
I don't think it's fair to call these guys researchers anymore. They're cockfighters with humans.
Before long, the conversation continued as though nothing had happened. This was not the only time the Christ came to fisticuffs, but gradually...
The Christs! Thursdays at 9.
Three Christ fighting. Gradually, the spirited discourse gave way to a shaky, mutually patronizing peace. The men sometimes humored one another's delusions, and other times they tap-danced around them. Over time, each Christ cultivated new delusions to retain his claim to godliness.
Oh, no. No.
Clyde squared his reality with the others by concluding that the other men were actually dead.
Oh, no.
In his mind, they were absurd corpse puppets whose limbs and faces were controlled by machines hidden inside of them.
So, is this experiment going well?
I think it's not. I think you're not helping anybody.
It's not working.
No, it's making things worse.
Yeah. Now he's living in a Men in Black world.
He's gone from thinking he's Jesus to thinking other people are meat puppets.
Yeah. And he's Jesus.
Leon explained away the other's assertions as lies from intention-seeking imposters or the result of technical-sounding nonsense terms such as duping, interferences, or electronic imposition. As for Joseph, he sagely observed that the other Christ claimants were, in fact, patients in a mental hospital.
Interesting how that worked out.
Which proved that they were insane.
Wait, now which one was... Clyde believed what? He believed...
Clyde's the old guy. Thinks they're meat puppets.
Yeah, oh, okay. All right, great.
As weeks turned into months...
Oh, my God!
Pedestrian subjects such as favorite foods and personal anecdotes began to dominate the sessions.
That sounds a little healthier.
Even outside of the meetings, the three men frequently sat together quietly despite being free to roam and mingle with others.
Wow.
They shared tobacco and stuck up for one another against
what?
Interlopers.
Oh, my God. They formed a holy trinity.
Each continued to believe that he was the embodiment of the Holy Trinity with the power to perform miracles, but all three had learned that discussing religion was not conductive to peaceful coexistence, so they stopped discussing religion altogether.
It's kind of like brothers with politics.
It's exactly like family with politics.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to bring up the Christ thing anymore. These guys can't handle it.
Yeah, yeah. He's just not voting the way I vote.
You know, every time I bring up that I'm Jesus, these guys just flip out, so let's just stay off that. How was your cat?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk sports.
How are those Giants? During one session, the doctor produced...
I willed the Giants to win. You did not. I did too because I'm Jesus. Stop it!
This is going so well! During one session, the doctor... So now the doctor is...
Someone sneezes around him.
So now the doctor's frustrated, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not talking about religion anymore. Like, they have handled it. The crazy people, right? The guys who are in an institution for having a mental disorder that should be treated... have now figured out a way to handle each other and become friends.
Yeah, right.
Which to me is a great sign.
They formed a team.
They formed a team. So now he's getting frustrated.
Of course. That's not fun to watch.
The doctor produced a newspaper clipping he had brought with him and handed it around.
Oh, no.
Leon volunteered to read it. It was a local reporter's summary of a lecture recently given by Dr. Rokich. Evidently, this lecture was conducting an odd psychological experiment at the nearby state hospital with three men who were all believed they were Jesus Christ.
What an asshole. What is he doing?
He's a fucking idiot. As Leon read aloud, Clyde withdrew into an unresponsive stupor. Leon himself grew increasingly visibly upset. He was completely aware of the article's substance. After he finished reading, he protested the incomplete picture offered by the report. He said, "When psychology is used to agitate, it's not sound psychology anymore. You're not helping the person, you're agitating. When you agitate, you belittle your intelligence." And then Leon stormed out.
Okay.
Sorry, he's fucking spot on.
Yeah, oh, he's right.
He just said, "You're fucking with us and you're not doing your job."
He's right, yes.
Because you know why? This is Jesus.
Yeah, true, yeah. Well, I don't think Jesus would have to use the door necessarily.
True, Jesus.
Sorry, this door's locked. Is that one open? Jesus.
I don't know if he's magic. Are you saying he can just vanish?
No, we all know how Jesus leaves a room. He melts into a goo and he slides under the door and then he reemerges as a man. Good Lord. Have you not read Revelations?
I read that. The doctor was constantly manipulating the men's lives, especially Leon. He went as far as to send fake letters from the hospital's superintendent to Joseph.
What a prick.
This was an attempt to see what effect a higher authority figure might have on Joseph's beliefs. You know, because he's Christ.
Yeah.
So he should be taking orders.
He'll listen to the boss.
Like, all you had to do was look around and see if he's taking orders from the orderlies.
Yeah.
And then you know that he takes orders, even though he's Christ.
Yeah.
The doctor acknowledged the...
But also the idea that he's Jesus and that you're going to go, like, you're like, well, let's go to the superintendent. It's like, no, he's fucking Jesus. He's not going to, like, it doesn't matter.
Also, Jesus, did you read in the Bible? Jesus wasn't a guy walking around going, not taking orders,
bitch. Yeah, no.
Who's the boss of me? Me. Yeah. That's my favorite of the Psalms.
Yeah.
Who's the boss of me? Me.
Who's the boss of me? Me. That's the book of me, 9:15.
The doctor acknowledged, quote, serious ethical issues involved, and his research assistants voiced concerns regarding the methodology. But the doctor emphasized that he would be cautious, adding, we hope there might be, therapeutically, little to lose and hopefully a good deal to gain. Little to lose, as in they're already fucking nuts, so what's the difference?
Yeah.
Who cares if I make them worse?
It's kind of like bombing Iraq.
Right.
Yeah.
Then Leon started receiving letters from the not real person he believed to be his wife.
I'm sorry, what?
He imagined that he had a wife.
Wait, okay.
And her name was Madame Yeti Woman.
Okay. let's get any more things I should know about this thing, and then I'll ask my question.
It's okay.
Okay, so she is not real?
Mm-hmm.
She's not real. She's imagined.
She's not a person.
And now he's getting letters from this person.
Correct.
So does the hospital know that he's invented her?
Yeah, oh yeah, they all know she's
so
not
now
real.
They are fucking sending him letters from a delusion.
Yeah. First they started sending Joseph.
This is the Jesus thing again. This is trying to shock him into like admission.
First they started sending letters from a real guy, the supervisor of the hospital. Now they're like, hey, let's send it from the fake people in their heads.
Yeah. Which is really fucked up.
Leon became very depressed when he started getting the letters.
Oh my God.
Because somewhere in there,
he knows.
Part of him, even though he's dealing with these delusions, there's got to be part of him that's fighting inside of himself.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, whatever it is, it's like he knows. You know what I mean? Like, that's just so fucked up to, like, force him to admit whatever he's holding on to in the way like this.
Well, that's not how you do it.
No.
She always asked to meet him, but she never showed up.
Oh, my God. And she's standing him up? His fucking delusion isn't making it? At least, like, dress up a woman, like Dr. Yeti, whatever the fuck her name, Miss Yeti.
So he clearly at first didn't believe they were real, and then over time he began to believe that the letters were actually real.
What good does that do?
And then he started to dress up and take showers and make himself presentable when he went to these meetings that never happened.
Oh, my God.
And every time she didn't show, he would become very angry and agitated.
Yeah, why? Yeah. Good God.
Hey! We just did the experiment, and we learned that dudes get pissed off when they get stood up.
For the 9th time.
Even though it's an imaginary person.
Yeah.
The letters continued for weeks.
Oh, my God.
She would send him money and tell him to make small changes to his life. She'd tell him, like, get a new toothbrush, do this, do that.
Don't push the orderlies.
They were just trying to see if
he
would, even though he's Christ, if he would. Okay. Eventually, Leon became convinced one of the women in the asylum was sending the letters.
Yeah.
So eventually his brain got around to, oh, one of the crazy people's doing this to me. So he was able to keep his delusion. Here's the thing about it. These people are schizophrenic. They will figure out a way to wrap their reality and make it work. They'll twist it around until they can go, okay, this is how it.
The letters were sent from.
From the doctor.
The doctor. But they were being written by a fellow patient.
That's what what Leon figured out. Leon couldn't figure out what was happening, why he was being stood up, and then he deduced that his wife wasn't actually sending letters, and then he went, oh, someone's fucking with me.
Right.
But instead of thinking it was the doctor,
he thought it was a patient,
it's got to be
there.
One of the nut jobs.
Right, right.
Because who else would do that?
Right.
A doctor wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a doctor would.
Yeah, a doctor's done a lot.
Next, the doctor introduced an attractive female researcher.
What?
Who was super into Leon.
What the fuck is he doing? What is this? What is he doing? This is crazy. This isn't even like... What's happening?
She would sit and listen to him in the meetings, and then she would have one-on-one talks with him and started flirting with him. This went on for a while before Leon started to sniff out what was going on. Because she wasn't a good enough actor to pull it off. Leon then started wearing an eye mask and earplugs whenever anyone was around.
So it's working.
This is just good, solid treatment.
Yep. You know things are going well when a man Helen Keller's himself.
And then he claimed he was a hermaphrodite.
Okay, so is it time to pump the brakes?
The truth is, my friend, he told researchers, I have no other friends.
Oh, God.
So they're doing a good job with Leon.
Next, they had him fuck an alligator.
The doctor finally brought the Three Christ experiment to an end on the 15th of August, 1961. 2 years. 2 years after the first meeting.
My God.
Of Clyde Joseph and Leon. None of the patients had improved, and you can make the argument that they were worse, particularly Leon.
Ugh.
Although by the time the doctor departed, Leon had announced his claim to renounced his claim to being Jesus Christ. Instead, he insisted he was being referred to as Dr. Righteous Idealized Dung. He also now believed that he was one of the Yeti people.
Oh, boy.
So, congratulations on that one.
Another case solved.
You fixed that, Christ.
Yeah. Another job? Well done.
I'm off to handle the Muhammads.
Yeah.
In the very end, the research did not bear any usable data.
Good.
The experimenters meddled endlessly, and they had a laughably small sample size of Jesus's. The patients never did seem interested in resolving the question of who the real Jesus was among them, and showed clear signs that they only wanted to live in peace together. The doctor wrote a book on the subject titled The Three Christs.
I'm an asshole.
I don't know what I'm doing. The Three Christs of Ypsilanti, where he concluded that the delusions suffered by the three men were the result of confusion over sexual identity, and noting that we all, quote, seek ways to live with one another in peace.
Not with you, asshole.
No, and thank you for saying it's about their sexual issues.
Yeah.
You really fucking nailed it.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
Later advances in neuroscience revealed that schizophrenia is a disorder of thought processes rather than of thought content associated with subtle differences in brain structures and in brain chemistry. Consequently, no amount of psychotherapy can cure schizophrenic delusions. Some medicines...
Some people can live a life, but for the most part,
it's chemistry. Fuck. It's brain chemistry. Yeah. The doctor acknowledged his ethical lapses in the afterword to the 1981 paperback edition of his book. He wrote, quote, while I had failed to cure the three Christs of their delusions, they had succeeded in curing me of mine.
Oh, good.
My godlike delusion that I could change them by omnipotently and omniscently arranging and rearranging their daily lives with the framework of a total institution.
But that's just admitting failure in a fancy, yeah, connective way.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
You could say that for anything. You could hit someone in the car. Like, you could just get into an accident and be like, you know what's good is I understand I'm not God now. Anything you fucking do, just like shoplift, and when they, yeah, catch you, just be like, this is a healthy moment for both of us.
Shouldn't guys like this have to spend time in jail?
Yeah, yeah. But the truth is that the general premise, like, right, like the idea of putting three people with the same very specific disorder in a room together to see what happens, I think is interesting.
Yeah.
To see, like, maybe,
well,
you can walk
a comedy.
Maybe you walk away, but maybe you could walk away from that with some sort of helpful knowledge, but then the manipulation.
Well, 2 years.
2 years
sending
and
letters
and the other things. It's just like you're not. You're just coming up with
sending them up with a hot researcher.
Yeah, I mean, what does that have to do with Jesus? Like at this point, like you're just like, yeah, let's get a researcher in here to confuse him and make him think that she wants to fuck him.
Let's see if he wants to fuck this Jesus.
I'm bored, guys. I'm bored. Let's convince him that there's a dinosaur out back and that if they're really good, they can pet it. Just do that for a month.
All right.
And let's, yeah, cool.
All right.
Anyway, we get paid.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. Well.
Well, we learn nothing. It's going to happen sometimes.
Great.